This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines. And the official news agency out of North Korea says North Korean leader Kim Jong-il has ordered the release of two American journalists. Those journalists are Yuna Lee and Laura Ling, who were sentenced to a dozen years each of hard labor last month for allegedly illegally entering the communist nation after originally being in China. Former President Bill Clinton made a surprise visit to Pyongyang today to request their release. The official report from North Korea said that Kim Jong-il granted a quote-unquote special pardon in the case. Clinton's visit to the communist nation was known hours before the announcement that the journalists would be released, and during that time, the Obama administration made it very clear that it didn't want the issue discussed in any public detail.
I put out a statement that this was a private mission that we weren't going to comment on while the former president was on the ground in North Korea.
The North Korean media also had reported that the former president was carrying a message from the current president, President Obama. However, the Obama administration denies that. But Gibbs would also say that there would be future information on this trip released at a later date, and also said that it didn't want to speak out while Clinton was in North Korea in an effort not to jeopardize the success of the mission. So draw your own conclusions on how much collaboration there was between the former president and the current president on this particular visit. But nonetheless, the journalists are coming home after a very difficult ordeal in North Korea. Elsewhere, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says some of the anger that we've seen over health care reform, especially at town hall rallies for Democratic members of Congress, is being manufactured, in his terms, by conservative groups. In his daily briefing on Tuesday, Gibbs was pressed about well-circulated videos of town hall meetings where critics of health care reform shout down members of Congress, including longtime Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, former Republican turned Democrat, as well as Texas Congressman Lloyd Doggett. Gibbs acknowledged some of the anger is real, but repeatedly insisted much of it, in his words, is manufactured. Opponents of Democratic health care reform efforts cite growing concerns over the cost and scope of reform proposals. The White House also fighting back against several online news sources, which had dug up clips of President Obama from before the time he was president, specifically arguing for a single-payer health care system, which he currently says he is not in favor of, and says his version of health care reform will never ultimately lead to. The White House, led by health spokeswoman Linda Douglas, came out and said that the clips used by the Drudge Report and other websites were taken out of context and were edited in a way to make it seem as though Obama were saying something he wasn't really saying. The Drudge Report, never one to shrink from controversy, now has posted the entire Obama clip, and here it is.
The challenge is, how do we get the federal government to take care of its business? I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care plan. That's the only reason why the United States of America, the wealthiest country in the history of the world, spending 14% of its gross national product on health care, cannot provide basic health insurance to everybody. And that's what Jim's talking about when he says, everybody in, nobody out. A single-payer health care plan, universal health care plan. That's what I'd like to see. But as all of you know, we may not get there immediately, because first we've got to take back the White House, and we've got to take back the Senate, and we've got to take back the House.
Democrats now have the White House, the House, and the Senate, so now it's up to the voters and the constituents of all these lawmakers to determine whether or not this is what the Democrats are trying to accomplish, or whether they have modified their stance and are going for a more modest approach to health care reform. In case you missed my conversation with Matt Staver of the Liberty Council that was posted on Monday, you can go to RadioAmerica.org or WorldNetDaily.com and find my extensive two-part interview with Matt Staver about what is in this health care bill, in addition to the ongoing discussions about concerns over cost and increased bureaucracy over the U.S. healthcare system. Elsewhere on the economic front, the nation's consumers opened their wallets a bit more than expected in June. Commerce Department figures show spending was lifted by expenditures on non-durable goods. The spending numbers exceeded analysts' expectations. Consumer spending accounts for more than two-thirds of U.S. economic activity. The uptick in spending came as incomes logged their steepest decline in 4.5 years. The Commerce Department numbers also show consumers in the U.S. saved less in May than they did in June. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner reportedly ordered financial regulators to stop criticizing President Obama's plan to overhaul financial regulation during a rather edgy one-hour meeting last Friday. According to the Wall Street Journal, sources familiar with the meeting say Geithner's stern, expletive-laced diatribe was directed towards Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Mary Shapiro, and FDIC Chairwoman Sheila Bair. He also instructed them to stop complaining about their loss of authority. A Treasury Department spokesman said the meeting offered Geithner an opportunity to dress down the regulators for not working together. Up on Capitol Hill Tuesday, senators have officially begun their final floor debate over the nomination of Judge Sonia Sotomayor to be the next Associate Justice to the U.S. Supreme Court. The New York Federal Appeals judge is expected to be confirmed by the Democratically-controlled Senate later this week. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid kicked off the debate, calling the nominee, in his mind, extremely well-qualified.
She's developed a 17-year record as a moderate, mainstream judge.
Senator Reid also says he's sad to see how politicized the confirmation process has become for judicial nominees.
Whose fault is it? It's probably both sides. Something just got out of hand, and hopefully that we can bring it back to where it has been in the past.
On the Republican side, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he cannot support the Sotomayor nomination. He says despite an impressive background, which has appealed to many, Judge Sotomayor fails a key test, that of impartiality.
The judge must be able to check his or her personal or political agenda at the courtroom door and do justice even-handedly, as the judicial oath requires.
The senator also focused on the words etched on the front of the Supreme Court building, equal justice under law. He says he doesn't think Sotomayor is capable of doing that.
Judge Sotomayor has openly doubted the ability of judges to adhere to this core principle, and she's even doubted the wisdom of them doing so.
In other news, top military and defense officials huddled Sunday with Defense Secretary Robert Gates in an unannounced meeting over the war in Afghanistan. According to a Pentagon spokesman, the meeting with the top commanders in charge of the Afghan war met at a U.S. base in Belgium. The meeting was arranged to update Gates on a review of the war being conducted by U.S. Army General Stanley McChrystal, who is the top U.S. and NATO commander in Afghanistan. McChrystal is due to provide his 60-day assessment of the war by mid-August. ABC News reports the officials discussed a possible troop increase in Afghanistan. McChrystal's advisors have already said that he will need more troops on the ground even after force levels reach 68,000. The ABC News report said McChrystal's assessment team has suggested deploying between 12 and 27,000 additional American troops. That's in addition to the more than 20,000 additional forces President Obama has already approved. Iran has confirmed it has detained three American hikers and is holding them for questioning. A security official in Iran's western province said, quote, "We don't know if they are tourists or not." Joshua Fatal, Shane Boer, and Sarah Short were hiking in Iraq's Kurdistan region when they apparently strayed across the border into the Islamic Republic of Iran. They were detained 4 days ago. The Swiss embassy in Iran is reported to be handling communication with the Iranian government on behalf of the United States. A bail hearing was held today for seven men accused of conspiring to provide support to terrorists and other charges. The News and Observer in Raleigh, North Carolina, reports an FBI agent testified that one suspect, Daniel Boyd, had confessed to attending terror camps in Connecticut in the late 1980s, as well as three in Pakistan. Other training reportedly included a $1,000 course in Las Vegas that taught survival skills, assassination, and how to escape captivity. In addition to the terror charges, Boyd considered the ringleader in this case, and the others are accused of conspiring to murder, kidnap, maim, and injure persons abroad. The agent, Michael Sutton, says Boyd was carrying a powerful handgun able to fire bullets that can pierce police armor when he was arrested. Australian police have arrested four people in Melbourne over what they say was a plot to launch a terrorist attack on an army base. More than 400 officers were involved in searching 19 properties across the city. Those arrested are Australian nationals. Correspondent Brian Portland has additional information.
Four men who are Australian citizens of Somali and Lebanese descent were arrested in a joint counter-terrorism operation carried out in Melbourne during the past 24 hours. Another man was previously detained and is being questioned. Police will allege the men's intention was to kill as many soldiers as possible. This operation has disrupted an alleged terrorist act that could have claimed many lives. The national security alert levels remain at medium, where they've been since 2003. I'm Brian Portland.
The senior aide on cybersecurity at the White House is turning in her resignation. Melissa Hathaway is citing delays in the appointment of a coordinator to jumpstart the government's efforts to protect the country's computer networks. She also served as a cybersecurity aide in the Bush administration and had been a contender for the cybersecurity coordinator position, but announced Monday that she had withdrawn her application. Hathaway noted it's been 2 months since President Obama made a speech pledging to personally select a cybersecurity coordinator. Industry officials have also voiced frustration at the Obama administration's inability to fill the job. Today was the fourth day of jury deliberations in the corruption trial of former U.S. Congressman William Jefferson. That's in Alexandria, Virginia. After day three concluded on Monday, the judge held a bench conference with lawyers from both sides. At issues was a note from a juror that the judge said was over a minor concern not related to the merits of Jefferson's case. The former congressman faces 16 counts of bribery, racketeering, and other charges. Prosecutors claim he used his office to promote business ventures by American companies in Africa. In exchange, he allegedly got millions of dollars plus benefits for relatives. Most famously, during a 2005 FBI raid, $90,000 were found wrapped in aluminum foil inside Jefferson's house freezer. And in two other notes, a new Quinnipiac University poll shows that 61% of Americans believe that the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945 were the right thing to do. The poll was released to coincide with the 64th anniversary of the bombings later this week. It shows that by a 3-to-1 margin, voters believe the bombings were correct. The strongest support is among Republicans and men, while only 49% of Democrats agree with the decision to bomb the two Japanese cities. More than 200,000 people were killed by the bombs, but most military historians argue that many more people would have been killed had the war been allowed to linger. And finally, former college football coach Lou Holtz is reportedly considering a run to be a member of the U.S. Congress in 2010, representing a district in Florida. Politico.com reports Holtz told National Republican Congressional Committee Chairman Pete Sessions last week he was interested in running. If Holtz runs, he would go up against incumbent Democratic Congresswoman Suzanne Cosmas, who represents Florida's 24th district. Holtz led Notre Dame to a national football championship in 1988. He coached at five other universities, with the last coming at the University of South Carolina earlier this decade. He also spent one season as the head coach of the New York Jets back in the 70s. He's been a college football analyst since 2004. If elected, Holtz would begin his congressional term at the age of 74. That's a look at Tuesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.